Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Do you have triskaidekaphobia? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up on a Friday edition of the Gym Class here at KGYM. My co-host just gave me a very, very odd look. Triskaidekaphobia, Mark. You know what that is?
I do not follow you, no.
Triskaidekaphobia is the fear of Friday the 13th.
Ah.
Happy Friday the 13th to everybody out there. So we welcome you in to the gym class, KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Scott Unash along with Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer again today. Great show coming up as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Docterman, who covers the Iowa Hawkeyes for the Land of 10, will be joining us. Iowa a week out from their spring game as more get moved, canceled, etc. around the Big Ten and around the country. And we will talk with Scott about that. We'll talk a little bit about some basketball for the Iowa Hawkeyes as well coming up here today. And plenty to get to. We'll update you on Iowa baseball. Zach Johnson on the course right now. That's down at Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. Got baseball, one afternoon game going on in the major leagues. We mentioned Iowa baseball team in action. Mount Mercy already has their doubleheader done. They got it in. Well, this isn't exactly balmy outside right now, but they got it in before the worst of the weekend weather kicks in. Sweep today, I believe, for the Mustangs and Jack Dom. So congratulations to them. And, we'll talk about a whole bunch of stuff here on the program today. And Mark, we live in the only state in the union, I think, that simultaneously can have a blizzard warning and a tornado watch going on.
I think I've seen it before.
That's not the first time it's happened, but it's happening right now as we speak. So, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm really good and looking forward to a great show today and a good weekend ahead, and despite the weather. That's what we do in Iowa, right? Talk about the weather. It gets old. It is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. All right. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to weigh in on the Hurtian and Stocker Jewelers text line, by the way. The gym class being presented once again by Third Base Brewery, located on the corner of Blairs Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids. Always warm and friendly in there. You can stop by after work, get your weekend started, get it off to a great start. And big thanks to Third Base Brewery, the presenting sponsor of the gym class right here on KGYM. We'll talk with Scott Docterman coming up in a little bit. Yeah, Northwest Iowa, in case you're wondering, has a blizzard warning. Not here, Northwest Iowa, the Sioux City area, the Siouxland area.
Until it moves.
Well, let's hope not. Not that they deserve it, and we don't.
You're supposed to be in a golf tournament tomorrow.
I'm supposed to be playing in a golf tournament tomorrow. The Crandic first event of the year. We're going to talk with Steve and Matt, by the way, on the Wednesday edition of Caddy Smack for next week.
Still on, huh?
As of the moment, it is still on. Yeah, which I'm fine with, because I've said before, going through the winter and the basketball season, I don't like things being canceled until the day of. And I know, granted, that you can make plans if things get changed. I also understand, like, for example, they've already canceled, I think everything tomorrow has already been canceled as far as the high school front is concerned. But you have people coming from far distances for track meets, soccer matches, tennis matches, whatever, what have you. I understand that, but For my example, the Crandic Tour, we're all from the corridor, Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. So why not wait? See, maybe if something changed, weather does change here in our state. So bravo to Steve and Matt.
Yeah.
And we'll talk with them coming up on Wednesday about the Crandic Tour.
319-366-1600 is our phone line. Kyle Mann, our producer, as usual, here today, and that's our Hurtian and Stocker Jeweler text line as well.
There you go. Dockerman's going to join us coming up here in just a little bit. Iowa baseball, they are playing the Nebraska Cornhuskers right now. That taking place in Lincoln, Nebraska, the first of a doubleheader today. They have gone to the top of the fourth inning. It is 1-1 right now between Iowa and Nebraska. Hawkeyes trying to put a rally together in the top of the fourth inning right now. Nick Allgaier on the mound for the Iowa Hawkeyes, and they're all big series, no doubt. Nebraska is off to a very disappointing start.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There is talk. I know the guys talked yesterday with Rick Heller about it. There's talk Darren Erstad may be in trouble or is in trouble in Lincoln right now. The legacy, and we've discussed it before, how legacies can come back, and that's not always a good thing. Works out sometimes, like Fred Hoiberg. Sometimes it doesn't work mm-hmm. out. And Darren Erstad, of course, former Nebraska baseball legend over there, and struggling right now with the Cornhuskers, a program that over the years has been one of the top in the Midwest, certainly.
I agree. Speaking of legacies, I see Todd Licklider's back.
Todd Licklider is back.
He's landed at Evansville as an assistant coach.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yep. He will be in the Missouri Valley Conference, and he will be an assistant coach for the new basketball regime at Evansville. So good for Todd. Stays in Indiana, gets back into the game of basketball, and I think that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fantastic, and I hope he will do very well. I wish him all the best out there. 319-366-1600. You'd like to weigh in? We got a poll question for you as well at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway.
Let's get after that. Is Dez Bryant worth the headache at this point if you're an NFL general manager, yes or no? If you missed it, the Cowboys have released Dez Bryant. Where will he land? Will he land anywhere? Is he worth the headache? That's the poll question, yes or no? Thanks to Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. Next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
Is he worth the headache?
I don't want him.
I think he can still be an effective wide receiver and a contributor to your football team, but what's he going to be like in the locker room? He was pretty vocal, not to the Dallas Cowboys, but talking about the Dallas Cowboys. He wants to certainly stick it to the Cowboys. So I ask you, Mark, more than your Bears and my Chiefs and other teams, but if you were the New York Giants, the Washington Redskins, or the Philadelphia Eagles, do you sign Dez Bryant? Because he's already said he wants to stick it to the Dallas Cowboys.
He forgot how to catch the ball, though. He drops more balls than anybody else in the league.
He does. That is true, but
there is that.
I think he's still effective. I think he'd still be effective out there. What do you think? 319-366-1600 or go to KGYMRadio.com. Good news, Iowa has picked up a two-run double to take a 3-1 lead in the top of the fourth inning over in Lincoln, Nebraska. So we'll keep you updated on that. Also keep you updated on what's happening at Hilton Head Island, South Carolina on the PGA Tour. That's where Zach Johnson and 155 of his friends are this weekend.
Zach Johnson has made another birdie on the par 3 14th, making a 6-foot putt there. Go to 2-under on the day, 3-under on the tournament. He's currently playing the par 5 15th hole at Hilton Head Island. Right now the cut is at even par. So as it stands right now, Zach in pretty good shape. The leaders right now at 9-under par, Siwoo Kim and Ian Poulter. They are both in the clubhouse.
Poulter's had a good year. Very good year. Of course, won a couple weeks ago at Houston to get into the Masters. Siwoo Kim, by the way, if you're wondering who's that and have I heard that name before, he was the Players' Champion last year.
Mm-hmm.
Won that. The self-anointed fifth major, I guess, as far as the PGA Tour is concerned. 319-366-1600. If you would like to weigh in here today on a Friday edition of the program, we're going to talk to Scott Dockerman coming up here in just a little bit. And we have not forgotten, yes, they have. We got something Mark is near and dear to, but we're going to get that at the end of the program today.
Okay.
So save it, Mark. Save it.
All right.
for something like that. Congratulations to your guy Joe Mauer last night. His got his 2,000th career hit as the Twins shut out the White Sox last night. Congratulations to the Twins.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have the game for you tonight, weather permitting, at 7 o'clock. And it is on as of right now on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, coming up tonight as the Twins look to make it 2 in a row tonight. I asked you beforehand, is Joe Mauer a Hall of Famer? I know people are talking about it today, kind of kicking it around. 2,000 hits doesn't, you know, usually 3,000 is the benchmark for sure inclusion into Cooperstown. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He's third all-time as far as the Minnesota Twins hits are concerned. That being led by Kirby Puckett, and I think Rod Carew is second with just over 2,000. More than likely, Joe Mauer is going to be the all-time hits leader in Minnesota Twins baseball history.
Mm-hmm.
But does that... Does that put him into at least consideration for the Hall of Fame? I asked you that prior, and you said?
No. I mean, I love Joe Mauer. I appreciate him, first as a catcher and now as a first baseman. A terrific hitter. Has won a batting title, has won an MVP. No World Series championships. Is that all his fault? No. He's 34 years old. Can he play another 5 years and average 150 hits a year, which would take him to 2750? Well, actually more than that, because this season is just getting underway. Then I think he might get into the conversation. Has he been one of the best players of his time? One of them, not the best. Just a very solid player, and there's a lot of very solid players who never make the Hall of Fame.
By the way, this is Triskaidekaphobic here. Mm-hmm. Just said, weather permitting, they have just announced that tonight's game has been postponed between the Twins and the White Sox. So no Twins-White Sox game tonight on 107.5 okay. FM. So scratch that.
Colonels on?
As of right now. The unbeaten Colonels are on at Veterans Memorial Stadium. They are back to take on Clinton coming up tonight, the Seattle Mariners Class A Midwest League affiliate. So no Twins baseball coming up tonight.
What
for
do you,
you
think about Mauer?
I think if he gets to 2,500 hits, if the Twins continue their climb, if the Twins get to the playoffs a couple times, if he gets some key hits to help them maybe get to a championship series or maybe even to a World Series, whatever the case may be, I think he's got to be right there on the edge. He's never wowed you. He's never going to wow you. He's a guy, and somebody made the observation last night that his 2,000 hit was exactly
perfect. It was
just a, you know, three hopper, wasn't a scalding ball up the middle. It just happened to get through and score a couple runs and help the Twins to win a game. And that's what Joe Mauer has done over his career now at age 34. You know, he's not going to hit 50 home runs a year. He's not going to drive in 130.
Not going to hit 30.
Right. So, but he's going to come up with the clutch hits. He's going to come up with a lot of hits that people aren't going to notice. He's just kind of there. And usually those guys don't get a lot of recognition to get into Halls of Fame or Hall of Fames. What is it?
Halls
of Fame.
Yeah.
All right. I wanted to make sure I got that correct. But I don't know. You get to 2,500, 2,600, whatever the case may be. We'll see.
309 career average, 6 All-Star games up to now. Led the American League in batting average 4 times. MVP. Actually led it 3 times. I'm sorry.
He's done some good things.
I think you make a good point. If he can get to 2,500, whether that's in 3 years or 5 years, whatever it may be. What I don't want to see is him hang around too long. And I don't think Joe Mauer will.
No, I don't think he will
either. I think he'll know when the time.
And I think he's going to be a Twin. I don't think you're going to see Joe Mauer go to the.
I don't want the Twins to pull a Harmon Killebrew on me and trade him to Kansas City for his last year.
Exactly.
That killed me.
I don't think that's going to happen with Joe Mauer out there. One more thing before we get to Scott Docterman here at 318. By the way, we've got Colonels tickets to give away before 4 o'clock, a family four-pack of Cedar Rapids Colonels tickets. NCAA Rules Committee came up today with a football, college football rule change, Mark. And again, it's, you remember the days of Hayden Fry with the pooch kicks? You remember those.
Yeah.
If you're of the younger generation here listening to the show today, Hayden Fry used to do the short kick where he'd kick it to a specific spot. He'd angle it to a corner at the 15-yard line, 10-yard line, especially when he didn't have a kicker with a big leg. He would do that a lot. Well, the NCAA today came up with a rule change in football, college football, that if you call for a fair catch anywhere inside from the 25-yard line to the goal line, if you call for a fair catch, it will be treated as if it is a touchback.
What?
Yep. So if you say Iowa kicks it to Iowa State calls for a fair catch at the 17-yard line, they will have it at the 25-yard line.
That's ridiculous. I didn't see that. I don't like that at all.
Yep. That's
it takes a tremendous amount of strategy out of the game for somebody who's got a good punter.
Now, it's just kickoffs.
Just kickoffs. Okay.
That's just kickoffs. Yes. On the kickoff.
Okay.
Yeah. Not for punts, but on the kickoff. Just another way, I think, getting rid of the kickoff in college football. We'll ask Doc about that coming up. 20 minutes past the hour of 3. We're going to take a break. Come back. Scott Docterman from the Land of 10 will join us when we come back here on the Friday edition of the Gym Class here at KGYM. More to come after this, so stay tuned.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Fixing your pavement can be more affordable than you think. Spring into action and stop dodging those cracks and potholes. Call Pate Asphalt. They can handle commercial parking lots, roadways, and your very own driveway. Serving the area for over 30 years, Pate Asphalt has decades of experience. Make your parking lot, roadway, and driveway look great. Pave it to last with Pate Asphalt. See them at pateasphalt.com.
One in five Iowans lives with a disability. A gift to Easter Seals Iowa helps individuals with an intellectual, developmental, or physical disability, autism, or mental illness get the training they need to live, learn, work, and play. Please donate at disabilityia.org today. Easter Seals Iowa, turning disabilities into possibilities. Sponsored by Easter Seals Iowa and aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind. In school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
As a small business owner, you're juggling it all, including customers' calls from your personal phone. But with Grasshopper, you get a business phone number and a business phone system from our mobile app so you can work smarter, not harder. Grasshopper forwards calls, texts, even transcribes voicemails. Everything you need to simplify your business and stay responsive. With Grasshopper, there's no long-term contracts and customer support is 24/7. Whether you're starting or growing your business, Grasshopper is the answer. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio.
Back with you at 3:23 here on a Friday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. little snoop for Mark because I know he's an aficionado now. So there you go. And I like the Joker's Wild. 319-366-1600 at 323 here on a Friday the 13th edition of the Gym Class. No Twins baseball tonight. Twins and the White Sox have been postponed. It's hailing at Target Field. The teams are out there taking pictures of it right now. It's not what I would be doing if it's hailing out there, but whatever. To each their own out there. All right, Scott Docterman set to join us here, and you can read his stuff at The Land of 10. You can give him a follow on Twitter, at Scott Docterman, all one word. That is his Twitter handle out there. And Scott, do you have a fear of Friday the 13th? Good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. First of all, I'll take the second part of your statement question first. And Friday the 13th, well, the movie scared me when I was a kid.
Me too.
I'm not really a big fan of it anymore. But as far as the day goes, nah, I don't have any superstitions involved with this one, at least stuff that has made me superstitious with it.
There you go. We're a week out from Iowa's spring game. It is still on as of this point, which I guess in hindsight now, Iowa having a little bit of a later start to the spring football season is a big help because, like I said, Michigan's not going to have a spring game. Wisconsin's not going to have a spring game. Rutgers has moved theirs around. Indiana's not going to have one now. So there's a lot of crazy stuff going around the spring in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I guess, whatever's in the water. Iowa State, too. I mean, it's been strange. And I think what it does show is what programs really think of spring games and kind of the disconnect between what media and fans think of it. Coaches look at it strictly as another practice, and it's almost it's a problem almost because, now they have to readjust their practice schedules. They have to do things differently because we're there watching every single move. Fans are there too, and sometimes opposing scouts are there. So it's a distraction for them to do a spring game if they don't really care about it. And in Iowa and Wisconsin, it's not the biggest deal in the world. I mean, I kind of joked about it, but it's true. I mean, last year, Iowa and Wisconsin combined for 25,000 fans of their two spring games. You look to the west at Nebraska, they sold out their spring game this year. They had a lottery for extra tickets. It's incredible how much it matters there versus how much it doesn't matter here. So I'm hopeful that we still get the opportunity to watch this. It's going to be a practice. Not a game mostly because of Kinnick Stadium. They're redoing the north end zone and they're not going to be able to use the whole field. They're only going to be able to go in one direction. So it's going to be a practice. But the unfortunate part is it's not going to be televised either. And I think that's really a bummer for a lot of people because it is on Friday night and they won't get a chance to come if they're from the central part of the state or other parts of the state or even locally, if you just struggle to get home or you got other things going on. So I really wish it would have been televised, but BTN doesn't always work for everybody.
Scott, one of the stories that has popped up is that Wrigley Field is aiming for a bowl game. In fact, maybe some Northwestern regular season games as early as 2020. And you having been at the Pinstripe Bowl and freezing your tootsie off at Todd Brommelkamp from an open-air press box, where do you weigh in on not just Wrigley Field, but football games in baseball stadiums?
I'm totally fine with it. I love the novelty of it. And I know some people don't, but to each his own. I mean, after all, Wrigley Field, I'm not sure if it's the case anymore, but up until even a few years ago, it had staged the most NFL games of any stadium in America, because the Bears played there until 71. I think Lambeau may have just recently surpassed it, but I'm fine with it playing, whether it's Fenway Park, Yankee Stadium, Wrigley Field, Dodger Stadium. I know they've done that in Phoenix. I want to say, didn't Iowa State play it where the Diamondbacks played at one of their bowl games and stuff? So I'm okay with that. That's not really a problem. But the northern climates outside, that's a big question because will people attend? Will they enjoy themselves? And is it a bowl you know, they try to make this bowl thing sound bigger than what it is, which is, it's an, you know, a glorified exhibition with all these neat little things to do. Mm. Well, you know, around here, if you're going to go play in Chicago, you're just going to go the day out and hope to play the game. I think what would make more sense is someplace like St. Louis, where you have a dome, you know, a dome stadium, a little bit warmer than Chicago. You're smack dab in a lot, in the middle of a lot of areas. You could play SEC teams, Big 12 teams, Big 10 teams. You know, I would prefer that as opposed to Wrigley. Now, if you want to have a regular season game in Wrigley, you know, hopefully in November, not before November, just because I'm a Cubs fan.
I see where he went there.
You know, or even whatever Comiskey Park is named these days, 7-Eleven Field, Guaranteed Rate Field, or whatever it's called. If you want to have a game there too, I'm fine with that. But you start getting into late December, that was the most miserable game I've ever attended. Yeah. I mean, it was 19 at kickoff. The wind was howling, you know, throughout the game. You know, nobody enjoyed themselves, and certainly, you know, yeah, we always get, you know, even at Kinnick when it's cold out, we get kind of the press box is warm so we could type on our computers. We didn't have that luxury that day, and it was my fingers were frozen trying to type. So I wouldn't recommend, you know, a cold weather game like that. You know, I just wouldn't.
You're quite right about the history of football at Wrigley Field. The Bears playing there for 50 years, And I think it was 8 years ago, Illinois and Northwestern played at Wrigley Field, and there was an issue. They only played with one end zone.
With safety, yeah.
Wrigley Field is in the midst of a 2-year renovation, and apparently that's going to be fixed for 2020. But I just think the weather more than anything else, and the sight lines. I mean, baseball stadiums were built to watch baseball, right?
Right.
And I think those two things. I'm not sure I'm on board.
You know, it doesn't really bother me, that part of it, because I know we had a lot of retrofit stadiums back in the day. I mean, it seemed like, you know, the cookie cutters of the 70s and early 80s, whether it was St. Louis, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, you know, on and on. Seattle was that way, and the Kingdome, and, you know, you could kind of make it all work. And I know the sidelines might not be perfect, but I think the novelty of, again, you know, if they had one in Boston and you go to Fenway Park and you see the Green Monster and you're sitting there, as long as you're not completely turned against the field, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. But, you know, I think the weather does matter, because when you're talking about a bowl game, and let's face it, Wrigley Field's not going to be a bowl game for the national championship. It's mm-hmm. going to be between a 6-6 and a 7-5 team from two leagues, just like, you know, the Pinstripe Bowl generally is. People aren't overly excited about going to those games. And then if you can't do anything while you're there because they're kind of, you know, vacation trips, then I just don't see a bunch of people from Iowa being all fired up. They might go to the game because it's only a 4-hour drive roughly, but I can't see them spending a whole week in Chicago and, you know, when it's 23 degrees and the wind's blowing off the lake. And that doesn't sound like a lot of fun to me.
No, I've been to Chicago in December. I don't need to go back. Mm-hmm. December. Scott Docterman from the Land of 10 joining us here at 3:31. Let's talk about the Hawkeyes a little bit more. And what I want to start with is the linebacking position. Three linebackers to replace for the Iowa football team. And how is that process rounding into shape here in the spring?
It is very challenging for them right now. And they are nowhere near figuring out who is going to be at what position. On the outside, that's probably a little bit more clear. It looks like Nick Neiman is probably got the edge at this point, with Barrington Wade is kind of the number two outside linebacker. And of course, Nick Neiman is replacing his brother Ben. So I think that one is a little bit more set. The inside, there's four guys challenging for two spots, and they're moving everybody around to see who's more apt to fit in where, or if one person's more versatile and all of that. And now the only one that really doesn't move a whole lot, that's Aaron Menz, and he's a senior at weak side linebacker. And if we remember right, 2 years ago, he was the starter in the spring and going into the summer, and then Bo Bauer beat him out, and then now he's, you know, finally a senior, and he's, you know, physical and strong. I mean, you know, squats, 6'10". I mean, that's pretty good. And then, but you know, the other guys, you know, Jack Hockaday's a senior. He's been injured off and on. But you know, he was the guy who replaced Josie Jewell when he went out for targeting a few years ago. So he's got a little bit of experience. He's a really physical hitter, but he's a senior. And then Christian Welch, who was kind of the backup there all last year, a taller guy, probably 6'4". And then the other guy who I like quite a bit, he just beat Menz out for the squat record for linebackers. That's Amani Jones. And I don't know, out of all the linebackers I've seen go through there for a while, you've seen somebody who's more stacked physically than him. I mean, he just, you know, he looks like a, you know, a bowling ball, you know, but both biceps are bowling balls. You know, he squatted 625. He says he's the hardest hitter on the team. It doesn't surprise me of that. You know, just does he know where to go? Does he know what to do? And if he can, I would start him just because physically he looks very imposing despite his only standing 6 feet. So all four of those guys are really battling for two starting jobs. It is a play-by-play. You know, they're getting the best out of these guys. So I think this is one where maybe somebody on paper is a slightly ahead after the spring and going into the fall, but I think August is where it really gets separated when they have a full contingent of running backs that they can hit and linemen that they could see and physical, you know, practices day after day. So it's gonna go on for a little while.
There has to be more weapons on the wide receiving core, and I'm not breaking any new ground there, I know, but what are the prospects there?
They like him. They like him a lot. Brandon Smith, you know, came in last year, and you know, I went down to Mississippi and interviewed him, and you know, really an intelligent, nice young man. I mean, both of his parents ran track in the SEC. You know, 6'3", has just giant hands. I mean, like triple XL glove size. You know, he's up to 220. Just looks the part. You know, if he can be more comfortable out there and get more reps, I think he'll be a, you know, tremendous player. And Amir Smith-Marset, you know, really fast, you know, quick. And, you know, they've said some stuff about him and his phone addiction, apparently, you know. And I think that was one of the things where Kirk Ferentz sent a message there. You know, he wanted to make sure that that everybody knew that he needed to put the phone down and start, you know, spending a little more time on film and what have you. So he even heard about it, I guess, once it got out, and Kirk said it, that it got out to people in New Jersey that were calling him saying, hey, we're going to take your phone away if you don't start paying attention. So I guess that's good parenting and good coaching all the way around. But I think both of those two have a really good chance of being, you know, a pretty good combo, and they're both sophomores. Nick Easley is a guy who always gets overlooked. He had 51 catches last year. So, you know, he's kind of been a really good safety valve, and they like this Kyle Gronenweg. He's from went to the University of Sioux Falls at D2. I think he's going to return punts, and he's, you know, another wide receiver. And then I wouldn't be surprised if you'll see some, you know, a freshman or two emerge and really work their way into the playing lineup. And, you know, Tyrone Tracy from Indianapolis or Calvin Lockett from Florida. I think both of those two have a chance. So I think this unit a year ago at this time was the most depleted, worst unit I've ever seen. Now has a chance to be, dare I say, actually decent to good. So, and if that happens with that quarterback, and of course those amazing tight ends, I think that they got a chance to make the passing game a weapon for the first time in 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, and that would certainly help. But to have Nate Stanley back there throwing, you got to have the effective offensive line. Sounds like Jackson and Tristan Wirfs are sharing time, I guess, both playing left tackle and right tackle. And I expect Wirfs to be at left tackle when the season starts, but I've been surprised before anyway. And just about the offensive line, just your thoughts this spring.
Well, the interesting part is, you know, they opened up when they listed Wirfs as number one left tackle, Jackson and number one right. But, you know, they're, again, the depth chart doesn't quite correlate to the words that they're saying. They say that both of those two, both of those two are working in both spots. And Alaric is much better at left tackle, whereas Tristan is pretty good at both. And, you know, it's going to be a matter of what's best for the team. If Alaric is so much better at left than right, maybe what's best for the team is he stays there. You know, one of the things that, you know, is happening more and more is, you know, I think teams are getting away from making that, you know, blindside pass rusher the only great pass rusher. They're moving guys around. And so the importance of a right tackle is really close with that of a left tackle. And then Mark Kallenberger, a freshman from Bettendorf, has really turned some heads. And he might, you know, figure in somewhere in guard as well. I mean, he's 6'6", 280, pretty angular, so he's got perfect tackle body. But, you know, if he's one of the five best offensive linemen, you know, this fall, I think he's got a chance to start. Keegan Render, they moved him to center permanently, which is a move I think we all expected. Really, you know, smart, heady player. They seem to rave about his leadership, but, you know, that happens a lot when guys get elevated to seniors, then all of a sudden they become magical leaders. So I don't know if that's the case here, but, you know, I've been hearing it for now ever in a day. You know, Ross Reynolds or Levi Paulson, you know, they look to be the starting guards, possibly Cole Banwart from Algona. You know, so they've got some good possibilities, but last year the offensive line was pretty inconsistent, especially after Boone Myers and Ike Butker went down with injuries. I mean, we saw some games they couldn't run at all. Some games they were pretty good. So if they can be more consistent and have fewer injuries, you know, it shouldn't be a bad unit, and then the tackles could make it a pretty good unit.
Scott Docterman of the Land of 10 joining us on the Gym Class coming up on 3:40. Scott, I know you've written a little bit about Iowa's non-conference basketball schedule for next year. What can you tell us?
You know, this year that they're going down to a little bit different, you know, with 20 games in Big Ten play, there's only going to be 11. Now, you know, what I do generally is I send through the Freedom of Information Act kind of their contracts, because that's sometimes how, you know, you ask Fran or somebody else on staff, it's like, I can't remember who we're playing. So I'm like making sure that we know. Savannah State is one of them. But, you know, they're going to New York for that tournament. And as part of it, they get two teams at home, so they're usually not very good teams. But, you know, out in New York, they're going to play Syracuse, UConn, or Oregon. They're going to get two of those three, so those are decent. They got Iowa State at home. They're going to get an ACC team at home. And they're, you know, most likely guaranteed to play in the Big East Challenge, the Gavitt game. So, you know, five out of their 11 non-cons are going to be against power opponents. I think we can agree that the ACC with Villanova and, you know, Georgetown, teams like that, they're in the same boat, you know, not unlike in football. So, I mean, half their teams, you know, and then you figure you and I into it as well. I mean, they've got some competitive games, and I think that's the good part of having this, you know, expansion to 20 games in the Big Ten is it chops off some of the bad games because, you know, nobody wants to go to Carver and watch him play, you know, more than a couple of Savannah State type games, you know, where they win by 35 points. I mean, you need those, but, you know, covering them is terrible because you already know who's going to win. It's just a matter of what's the theme of the day. And then watching them, you know, the outcome's not in doubt. So I think cutting those two types of games out every year, I think, is an important thing. And I think it's going to be good for the Big Ten as a whole.
Yeah, I would agree. And, yeah, no one wants to go down there, and especially for an 8 o'clock, you know, Thursday night game or whatever, and see some of those opponents. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think it'll be good. And just, Iowa State, you and I and Drake are going to get together. Is this thing going to continue, though, with the 20-game schedule now?
Iowa, well, all the schools, but Iowa in particular, has an out clause that if they are forced into 22 games by their league, that they can leave it with 18 months left. Now, there's 2 years left of this contract, 2018, 2019. The way it looks now, I doubt that they re-up it. I think after 2019, it goes away, at least from Iowa's perspective, because that's a lot of games to be guaranteed. And you know, and it's unfortunate, but I tell you what, you know, I've been to every year over in Des Moines for this, and it just has none of the sizzle that it did when it was on home campuses. It was kind of, you know, you guys could probably remember this, but I really liked it when, you know, they all went to each other's campuses.
Absolutely.
You know, and in Iowa's case, it was always like you had, you know, football season ended, especially when it was before Thanksgiving. And then right after that, about a week later, Then, you know, you saw him play you and I in Iowa State. And then about a week after that, you saw him play Drake. And it was kind of the introduction to the basketball season. Like, okay, it's here. They're at the Knapp Center. They're at McLeod or Unidome before that, or Carver or Hilton. It just kind of felt like, all right, now we're here. We can all kind of get into it. But going to Des Moines hasn't had that kind of, same kind of feel. It's usually, you know, three teams that's been competitive, you know, UNI, Iowa State, and Iowa. And whoever played Drake, it was kind of like a layup. You know, hopefully that changes. But if, you know, otherwise I was thinking, you know, if Drake's going to be like this, maybe you go get a team for Drake to play and then bring in a Nebraska or somebody for Iowa State, or bring in, Kansas State or somebody, or Mizzou for Iowa, to give it some juice. But I just don't see it lasting past 2019. I just think the schedule is too tight up for Iowa.
Yeah, I remember years ago when Iowa first went to UNI and played in the Unidome, and what a great atmosphere that was.
Mm-hmm.
Several years.
Yeah.
I don't know how many years ago it was.
23. Yeah, like 23,000 people in there.
Yeah,
like 1990,
yeah.
I want to say.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like
those
to
days are gone.
I like to see it come back, but I don't think it's ever going to. And again, you can, you know, there's a couple of ways to attack it. You can say, well, why play Savannah State when Drake and you and I are begging Iowa to come? But again, it comes down to the whole NCAA basketball tournament theory of the Power Fives not playing the mid-major. So, and we've talked about that till we're blue in the face anyway. But
Well, you know, I've heard this point over and over again. I know Wayne Morgan really wanted to get rid of it, and Iowa was like, sure, you go ahead and take the first step and we'll back you up. And, you know, then I know that, you know, Todd Licklider wasn't real a big fan of it. And one of the things he said, which is true, is he's like, when I was at Butler, you didn't expect Indiana and Notre Dame, Purdue to come here every other year. And, you know, then you have all the other schools in Indiana. But you know what? We're different in Iowa. I mean, there's a lot of different things over there. There's, you know, 8 or 9 colleges. Here we've got 4. You know, Iowa and Iowa State always played Drake. You and I for the last, you know, roughly 30 years. It's a different introduction. I think it's fun for everybody, and I really enjoy it. And but I also know from, you know, the major schools' perspective, you feel like you go to U and I. I mean, you got a team that's going to give you your best shot, and you get a road loss against a Valley team. It doesn't really help you very much, even though it should, because you and I certainly are the equal of a lot of teams that they play in conference play. But, we'll see. I just would say I'm pessimistic that it's going to last beyond another 2 years.
Yeah. All right. Week out from the spring game. You can read about that and a whole lot more on Twitter. Just follow @ScottDoctorman or read his great stuff at Land of Ten. Scott, always appreciate talking with you, and we will talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the time.
You bet. 3:46 here on the Friday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. We're going to get to it, Mark. We'll get to it coming up. 3:47. We need to take a break. We'll come back, and we'll get to that. And then people are going, what are you talking about? But yeah, we'll get to it here in a moment. We need to give our final 4-pack of Colonel's tickets away here to a game coming up later in April. Family 4-pack of tickets to see Cedar Rapids Colonels baseball out at Veterans Memorial Stadium, Perfect Game Field. The game is on as of right now for tonight. It's a Z102.9 Mug Club night. If you'd like to venture out to Perfect Game Field, Veterans Memorial Stadium, 6:35 start time tonight as the Colonels take on the Clinton Lumber Kings. We're going to take caller number 6 right now, 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. You're going to pick up a 4-pack of tickets to a future Colonels game. We'll let you know who our winner is when we come back.
Is the car you're driving 2012 or newer? If so, here's something you need to know. Today's newer engines run hotter, making them more vulnerable to carbon buildup, which could affect engine performance. Protect your engine with new Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic, specially formulated to protect cars built 2012 or newer from carbon buildup. Learn more at modernoil.com. Valvoline, since 1866. Visit AutoZone now. Buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic and an oil filter for $39.99. See store for restrictions and details.
Everyone in the neighborhood knew about Bobby. Bobby, the basketball boy, they called him. Bobby wanted to go pro someday, so he was always out in the driveway shooting hoops. But one day, his mom came out and told him,
"Hey, your wife wants you to take out the trash?"
His mom was visiting, and Bobby was a grown man. He had kind of missed his window. Plus, no one had ever seen him actually make a basket. But on the other hand, Bobby had heard how Geico could save him money on car insurance, so he switched and saved. So, it was all good.
If your vehicle isn't stopping like it used to, visit O'Reilly Auto Parts for the Spring Break Deals event. Take advantage of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Do It Right rebate and get a $20 O'Reilly gift card by mail when you buy a set of Brake Best Select pads and a pair of rotors. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sports and rock and roll go together like wings and beer. Cubs and Cardinals, Hawkeyes and Cyclones. John Fogerty's center field is in the Baseball Hall of Fame. The infamous disco demolition at Comiskey. Moments you can remember, like U2 at Soldier Field. It's your tailgate playlist. Sports and rock and roll. That camaraderie is alive and kicking right here in the corridor. For sports fans who love smart rock, it's Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Have you seen the Johns lately at TCB Pool Hall? No, not the two guys at the bar. I'm talking about the restrooms. No joke, 5 stars. But enough about that. TCB is a pool hall with 10 full-size tables you can rent by the hour, so you can play as long as you want. There are always interesting drink specials. I mean, you've got to have something to sip on between shots, right? Play pool, drink cold beer, use the John at TCB Pool Hall, on the Pedball next to Mondo Saloon, downtown Iowa City.
Back with you here in the gym class for a Friday here on KGYM. Michael Oss going to join us coming up on the Monday edition of the show. Don, the Buckeye, is the winner of our Colonel's 4-pack of tickets, our final one for the week. And thanks to the Cedar Rapids Colonels, get out there and see a future Colonels game as a Colonels in town for the weekend. We hope they play some games as they take on the Clinton Lumber Kings. Before we get to what Mark wants to talk about here.
You pointed it out to me.
I know, and you are excited, aren't you?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
We mentioned that the kickoff rule has changed. Adam Rittenberg going over the rules here that were changed. Other rule change, in case you missed it earlier on a kickoff, it has to be a kickoff. It's not a punt or anything like that, but on a kickoff in college football starting next year, if you make a fair catch inside the 25-yard line, it will be treated now as a touchback. And the receiving team will have the ball at the 25-yard line. You don't like that. You do not like that.
I think there's other more pressing matters that could be addressed.
Oversight panel also approved the prohibition of blocks below the waist by offensive players more than 5 yards from the line of scrimmage. Also, other than interior offensive linemen, such blocks must take place from the front side. The 40-second play clock being used after touchdowns and following kickoffs to expedite play. A 10-second runoff when instant replay overturns an on-field ruling when there is less than 1 minute remaining in each half. That's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be very interesting right there. Uh-huh. So there you go. Those were the big changes out there for them. The Oversight Committee as far as college football is concerned. 319-366-1600. You'd like to comment on that. Mark, I know you've been itching. Not because it's Friday the 13th and, you know, you have phobias or whatever, no phobias. But today, one of the major networks announced a new cast for one of your fine favorite shows, Dancing with the Stars. And this one's got an asterisk next to it, which is right up our alley, correct?
Season 26 is going to include all athletes.
Oof.
The 10 contestants are all athletes. Here we go. Villainous Tonya Harding.
Yeah.
Going to be competing.
And if you think Tonya Harding looks like all those pictures that they're putting out today, I think they've been touched up a little bit.
Adam Rippon, American figure skater.
Who's going to win? That's my pick.
Mirai Nagusa, who's the first American to, I believe, complete the triple axel in the Olympics.
A lot of Olympians, by the way.
Jamie Anderson, snowboarding gold medalist.
Is this because there's not a lot to do in the next 4 years?
Erica Ogunbowale. I think I was close on that. She is the hero for the Notre Dame women's basketball team.
Yes.
Hitting game-winning shots in both games of the Final Four. Chris Mazder, who's a luge.
He's the
silver
luge
medalist.
Yes, he was the medalist from the United States luge team in this past Olympics.
Jenny Finch Daigle, probably the best female softball pitcher in American history. She's in. Johnny Damon, retired baseball player. Not sure who the folks in Boston or New York will root for, but Josh Norman, who plays for the Washington Redskins, he's in. And finally, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And I saw his partner, a picture of his partner. Kareem's 7'2", right?
She's not.
She's like 5'2". How this is going to work out, I'm not quite sure. But the All Athletes Season 26 of Dancing with the Stars debuts April 30. And we will
Who is your early pick?
Well, there's no gymnast in here. Normally, I'd take a gymnast.
But you got the figure skaters who are usually do very well at this. Usually.
I'm going to root for Jenny Finch.
Okay.
I've always been a fan.
All right.
I don't think she'll win. I don't think Kareem's going to win.
Kareem, I think, is going to be the first one out, and that's not a knock against Kareem. I just think that a 7'2", and he's the oldest one by a ton.
He's 70, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He's and a very good 70, by the way. But 70 years old and 7'2", I don't think is conducive to this competition.
Tonya Harding doesn't have any moves anymore, does she? We're going to find out.
Yeah. Yeah, but she could alter this competition.
Yes, she could. Yes, she could.
In a real big way.
Again.
One phone call, Mark.
How about rooting for the Notre Dame women's basketball player?
She's the unknown in this thing.
Yeah.
I believe, but yeah, we'll look forward to the April Mark Dukes Dancing with the Stars Athlete
People
Edition.
People love this 75-75 on the text line. Jabbar's the sleeper.
Sleeper? See, I'm looking the other way. I just think he's going to struggle. I think he's going to struggle with the not only the dancing, but also it's rigorous. I've been, you know, told. You see them in the backgrounds there.
I say the practices and whatnot. If you're not a Dancing with the Stars regular viewer, are you more apt to, as a sports fan, tune into this year?
Yes.
You are?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's all athletes, and I know of them, so I am more apt to tune in. So, yeah. I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I think it'd be fun. Maybe I'll join you there. I think one of the figure skaters is going to win, though, because they've got a really good track record.
What do you know about it?
I know who won.
Okay.
I've never watched it, but I know who has won over the years.
Nancy Kerrigan did well. I think she was sixth when she was on.
They've had a couple that have won.
Yeah.
Elio won. I remember that. That's everything that IndyCar talked about for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Elio Castroneves winning. All right, so there's your cast characters for the next Dancing with the Stars. We've got no Twins baseball tonight. Twins and the Sox have been postponed. It was hailing earlier. It's supposed to snow. It's supposed to snow a foot in Minneapolis, so they may not get any games in. We shall see how that all plays out over
doesn't
the weekend.
Doesn't look good for the weekend. No.
Doesn't look good for the weekend up there, but we shall see. Have a good weekend, Mark.
You too.
All right. Stay tuned. The Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That's coming your way next right here on KGYM. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Had a couple of drinks watching today's game? Should you be behind the wheel? Buzzed driving is drunk driving. It's easy to tell when someone has had too much to drink. But what about when someone has too many to drive? The legal limit in Iowa is 0.08, and law enforcement is cracking down on all drivers behind the wheel and over the limit. Don't underestimate your limit. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
There are still companies that care, companies that have your back, companies that provide stability for you and your family. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is one of those companies. You can start at $17.27 an hour with great benefits you'd expect from a company that treats you like family. Sometimes it's the small.